Episode 183 of the Drive-By Podcast, sponsored by Les Delices La Fresnaye, five great Montreal stores. Check them out. Saint Leonard, the original for the best pastries, bakery goods. They have it all, custom cakes. Work with a designer for your life celebration. Whatever it is, whatever theme cake you need, they will make it for you. Rosemere, Pointe-Claire, Montreal West, and the newly expanded store in Brossard on Taschereau. It's Les Delices La Fresnaye. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of paid sponsors.
This is the Drive-By with Freeway Frank.
The Drive-By Podcast, brought to you by Own Space. Episode 183 of the Drive-By Podcast is another late night session. I'm Freeway Frank. This is the Thursday edition. Hope you're having a good week. Thank you for tuning in. I start this podcast with Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada. Surprise, surprise. Surprise, surprise. Surprise, surprise. I had to mention this because it's just getting ridiculous now. This is the guy who wore, need I remind everybody, who wore blackface not once, not twice, three times a lady. Once, twice, actually a man. Three times a man. He did it three times. People don't do it even once in a lifetime. Oh, Jimmy Kimmel did it. Jimmy Fallon did it. Howard Stern did it. I'm proud to say I've never done that because, I don't know, I never felt a need to do stupid shit like that. And that's not going to haunt me anytime soon or ever because it's never happened. But how does a guy that comes from a family like his end up doing shit like that? I mean, you have to be an idiot or you're looking for shock value. And, you know, he never had a shock. He wasn't a shock jock on a radio show. He didn't have a TV show like Jimmy Kimmel did with The Man Show. I'm not making excuses because I can't stand Jimmy Kimmel. Howard Stern's gone completely woke. Jimmy Fallon has fallen over the cuckoo's nest as well. And all these other people that did blackface, including, I think, Ted Danson. Didn't Ted Danson from Cheers do blackface as well? So that's just some of the stuff, some of the terrible shit that he's done. Okay, and then the Liberal Party and Mr. Trudeau takes zero responsibility. The Speaker of the House gets ousted in Parliament going back several months when they didn't vet a guy they gave a standing ovation to when they had Zelensky in, a guy who was a Nazi. 97, 90-year-old guy they celebrated in Canadian Parliament. We became the butt of jokes internationally. I mean, when are we not the butt of jokes when it comes to our Prime Minister? So he doesn't vet the fact that there's a Nazi in Parliament. That, no, okay, that, just sweep it under the carpet, just like the Liberals know how to do, sweep, sweep, sweep under the carpet. But now, Alex Jones. And we know that Alex Jones, at least I know Alex Jones, is some of the shit he's gotten right, a lot of the shit he's gotten wrong, including Sandy Hook was absolutely obscene, uncalled for, crackpot, conspiracy theorist. Yes, Alex Jones. I don't watch Alex Jones and take the stuff he says as information and fact. Okay, he may have hit a couple of singles and doubles, but he struck out more times than he's hit home runs. Way more times. And so Alex Jones comes out on Twitter, on X, and endorses conservative opposition leader Pierre Poilievre, who will be the future Prime Minister of Canada. We know that now, of course. We know it, unless something goes terribly wrong, and I don't even want to think about that. So he endorses Pierre Poilievre, or says, I don't know if he endorses him, but says a lot of nice things about him in a tweet, and the fact that he makes sense, whatever it is. He gives him an endorsement, okay, for lack of a better word. And then Pierre Poilievre, I'm waiting to see if Pierre Poilievre is going to say anything, and I'm thinking,
If I'm his communication staff, I'm saying, don't even acknowledge it because there's no point in going there. Well, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that the Liberals and the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, would definitely say something. Did I think he would use a parliamentary session to bring that up? No. I thought maybe he would bring it up, I don't know, at a press conference. But he used a parliamentary session in order to bring up the fact that Alex Jones endorsed Pierre Poilievre. And Pierre Poilievre never denounced it, never came out and said, listen, whatever he wanted to say against Alex Jones. So, you know, Justin thinks, and then all the dorky liberals get behind him, all cheering in the background. Yeah. He was endorsed by a right-wing, far-right whack job that denied Sandy Hook. Yeah, down with the conservatives. And then need we remind you all the shit you've done and never, you know, anytime that has been thrown at him, deflect, or as in the French show, pivot. That's all he does. So of course he would do that. And of course he would come out and make a ridiculous statement like that. And it didn't even go anywhere. And it's so predictable. It's so desperate of the Liberals to do that and come up with that as a strategy, because the Conservatives are doing so well in the pollings. Nothing is going to stop the Conservative train, because Justin Trudeau has so messed up this country. He's messed it up so bad that it's going to take a major controversy. Something as ridiculous as any of the things that Trudeau has done for Poilievre to go down in a blaze of, you know, I was going to say a blaze of glory, but it wouldn't be a blaze of glory if he went down with something that came up from his past that was horrible, that people couldn't just ignore. But to still, you know, punish Poilievre, and there's nothing there. There's nothing that has come up, nothing that will come up, okay? There's no doubt in my mind. This guy's clean. And they try to finger point and try to throw curveballs at him, whatever they can to try to begin the downfall of the Conservatives. But it won't happen. So here we are, and the Liberals are desperate. They don't have anything else, no other strategy, nothing else that's going to get them out of this. So that's it. Pierre Poilievre will be the Prime Minister of Canada whenever the government falls, whenever they vote non-confidence, or next year, in, I believe, a week after all the MPs get their pension, their six-year pension, which includes the NDP leader, Jagmeet, and so many of the NDP caucus and Liberals who will be hitting 6 years and getting that crazy pension. Imagine getting a pension. You serve as an MP, it's a lottery ticket, and you get over $170,000 a year for the rest of your life, paid by who again? The taxpayers. Zayers. Big echo in here. Bigger, even bigger echo at night. I know there's always an echo. It's a big room. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. I'm not going anywhere. It sounded like the podcast was coming to an end. Not yet. I'm still rolling. I'm still rocking here. You ever think about, as I move on to the next topic, you ever think about your mortality and just life? A few people, I saw a couple of videos on Instagram about this. I don't want to depress you, but it's just to put things into perspective. A friend of mine also did the same thing, told me something. You know, like, this is a ruler, right? And or a measuring tape. And go out, you know, as much as you see the inches on the measuring tape. Go out, you know, if you're 40, go out 40 inches. If you're in your 30s, go out 30 inches, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. And then up until, let's say, 80, 90, which is an average lifespan. Anywhere around there, if you're lucky, even more. If you're unlucky, less. and then see how many years you have left on that tape, and it's eerie, okay? If you ever do it, so I did mine a while ago, and then you look and you go, oh boy, you're closer to the end. I mean, I know this sounds depressing, but it's true. Take out a measuring tape and do it. It's going to freak you out. And then it's, you know, this is an exercise in living in the moment. Because after this, no matter what, you're going to be living in the moment, living for the good times if you're not already, not worrying about all this bullshit that you can't control, not being in your head as much, looking forward to the good things that are coming in the next little while, but living in the moment and forgetting about that past, visiting the past momentarily for nostalgia reasons, that's one thing, but living there, you know, full time is a bad thing. So when you do this thing, I look at it and there's this measuring tape, and then I realize, holy shit, I don't got a lot of time. No. Now, you know, I tell my wife and they're like, oh, Frank, stop it with that. Well, no, if you look at it in terms of a measuring tape and you go through the inches like it's your age, well, let's pick an age, 40, you know, and you're at 40. You've lived 40 years of your life. Let's say you get to live to 80 years old on a good, on a good year. Let's say, let's pick 80, 81, 82. My dad lived to be 82 years old, okay? So you're halfway through your life. In my case, I'm more than halfway through my life. So then I start thinking about things. And my head starts going 100 miles an hour, and I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Am I wasting time? Because we're already in the month of April. It was yesterday we celebrated New Year's Eve. It was yesterday. It's already April. That is nuts. We're already in the month of April, and we're almost 2 weeks into it. That is crazy. And then the solar eclipse happens this week. And the next one is not till 2044. And the one before that, that was a totality, was in, back in 1979. And I talked about this several times. One of the reasons why I brought it up is the whole thing, the age issue. And I remember being young and telling a classmate, well, the next time this happens, we're going to be old if we're still around. And all these years have gone by, then the eclipse happens and it's 2 minutes and you're looking up and it's a beautiful thing and it's gone. And that's us. You look up, it's a beautiful thing, life. And then you're here and then you're gone. You were not even a thought before you came into this world. You might be a thought for a little while, as much as the people that love you and care about you live on and remember you. And then after that, you're as good as when you were before you came into this world, meaning you're not there. I was going to say you're as good as dead, but you weren't there before, you didn't exist, and you don't exist after. And unless you're Marilyn Monroe or Elvis Presley, or we're talking the biggest icons on the planet, the biggest of the biggest, you know, we still talk about Shakespeare, and we still talk about Da Vinci, and we talk about whomever from the past. I mean, these are the biggest people we've had, the biggest characters, the biggest artists, whatever. And, you know, they have a place, but we might not have that place after the people that we love and care about us, vice versa, are no longer here. We're no longer here. We're done. So that puts a lot into perspective. And then I started thinking, What do I really want to do? What do I, I ask myself this all the time. And I bring this up, it's almost like an exercise. I hope that you're listening to this and this helps you out. You might be listening to this and going, oh shit, I'm depressed now. Frank reminded me that we're getting old. No, but if anything, it's an exercise in realizing that we don't have a lot of time here. We don't have a lot of time. And these events, like I mentioned, that happen only once every 20, 30, 40 years, and then we're 4 months into a new year, and next thing you know, we'll be in summer, and then we'll be in fall, and another year will pass, and that clock and that measuring tape goes up another inch, and another inch, and another inch. So then, as I mentioned, you start to think and wonder, what do I really want to do? What do I really want to be doing? Because will I be happy if something were to happen or something were to change? Will I be happy that I got everything in? That's another question you have to ask yourself. The things you want to do, you can't delay. You got to do them now. And I know, easier said than done. Financially, it's not easy for somebody to say, okay, let's book that trip around the world now and you got a job, you have kids. I get it. No, I understand. Don't drop everything, spend all your money and go on an international trip just to appease the fact you may not be here in a day, in a week, in a year, whatever. That's not what I'm saying. But realize that we don't have that much time. So we got to get our asses in gear and we have to get planning and knowing exactly, as the years do get by us, where we're going here. Where are we going? Where are you going? I remember that. That was from my neighborhood growing up. But where are you going? Yeah, where are you going? That's a good question. I think Dave Matthews Band has a song called "Where Are You Going?" That's you know, it's not only physically where are you going as you're walking down the street or driving up the road, but where are you going? Do you have a plan? And I think more than ever, I need to have a plan. I need to have a good plan, because you start to realize that if you don't have a plan, it's you know, my wife is way more organized than I am. We're going to Italy this summer. She has a plan. I have zero plan besides going to my cousin's wedding. She has the plan. She has the itinerary. She has the schedule. She has the agenda. If it were not for her and the planning, I'd be doing everything spontaneous off the cuff, because that's who I am. But you can't live your life like that. You have to have somebody, especially in the relationship, that has that plan. I'm glad my wife has that plan. But you need a personal plan for yourself as well. Your own personal plan as to where you're going this year or this week, this summer, the next few seasons, this year, next year. Very important. And I bring that up to remind all of us, including myself, that, you know, that measuring tape, right? You know the one I'm talking about, when you pull it out, and then if you pull it and you don't press that button, and what happens? It just goes, and it goes back in, right? And sometimes it takes out your finger or your nail, your fingernail, because it comes right back. That's how quick life is. Episode 183 of the Drive-By Podcast is sponsored by Les Délices La Frenette. You know, they have best ofs every year. Sometimes it's a magazine, sometimes it's online, Montreal best ofs or whatever city you're in. Well, La Frenette has won best of many times as the top bakery shop. I've also been in certain parts of, let's say, my community in the past when they were doing bake-offs, who has the best cannoli, who has the best zeppole, whatever it is. You can't go wrong with Les Délices La Frenette. They have the best everything. Custom cakes, strawberry shortcake, chocolate cake, vanilla, cappuccino. They have it all for you, whatever you want. They'll design the cake as per your request. So if you have a theme cake for whatever you're celebrating, maybe it's a birthday, somebody's into a Louis Vuitton, they'll put the Louis Vuitton purse. They'll make it as part of your cake. It's wild. And it's beautiful. And the memories and the pictures you will take with it. And then, of course, after you cut it and you dig into it, and it's so sweet and delicious, that's the cherry on top with Les Délices La Frenette. 5 Montreal locations: St. Leonard, Rosemere, Point Claire, Montreal West, my home location in Brossard on Taschereau Boulevard. Check them out. Simplement délicieux. It's lesdelicelafrenette.com. Deal breakers. Everybody's got them. Back when I was dating, I had several deal breakers. Number one, if the person I was dating had a cat, because I'm severely allergic to cats, unfortunately, I couldn't continue the relationship. However, I did make some exceptions, because some of the girls were really cool women. They had cats. And I basically died for the couple of months, that I dated them. It wasn't easy. I've always felt like I had fur balls in my passage, in my lungs, and in my passageways. So it wasn't fun. But the reason why I always had that as a deal breaker is because it made my life miserable. Because I'm very allergic to cats. When I go to my in-laws, I have to take Benadryl the minute I walk in. Sometimes it doesn't matter. I could pop two of those. I could have the 24-hour ones, 12-hour ones, whatever. And I mean, to the second of when they expire, right? I start getting stuffy and I stop. I've been in some instances where I have stopped breathing because I'm highly allergic to cats. So yeah, I was serious about that. Another big deal breaker was I didn't want to date anyone that I felt wasn't a natural kisser. And what did I mean, or what do I mean by that? Well, if I ended up making out with the person, we went out on a date, and then when we eventually kiss, if it felt awkward the first time, I just felt that it would just be awkward. Now, sex completely different, because usually sex is awkward the first time, right? When you're having or being intimate with somebody the first time or the first few times, for some people, they have performance anxiety. If you really like the person, then you're in your head. It's happened before to the best of us. So that, for whatever it's worth, you know, you got to give it a little bit of time when it comes to that. But kissing is something that I feel is so intimate. When you're right there with the person and your lips are touching, and if it doesn't feel natural, or the kiss, like I've kissed people for the first time and it was magical. It was incredible. I remember kissing my wife and it just felt great. It still feels great. She's a great kisser. And I would like to think, hopefully, I'm a great kisser as well. But then I remember once I kissed this woman that I dated in Toronto, and I have an old school heritage brick wall right behind me here in the studio. And if I could show you, just imagine me now going up to the brick wall right now and me laying my lips on the bricks and kissing it. That's how it felt when I was kissing her. It was so bizarre, and I really liked her, and I thought, okay, it might have been nerves. Let's, you know, give it another date or two, whatever the case is. But it just felt like every time our lips locked, it just didn't feel as natural as it did with girlfriends I had in the past, people I had dated. It didn't feel good. So kissing was always extremely important, because that's something you've got to do with the person that you're with, and frequently, all the time, and maybe for the rest of your life if you marry the person. If the kissing doesn't feel good, or they're awkward kissers, and some people, they just, the tongue is all over the place. Some people are really wet in the mouth. They're licking all over. Some people really have no clue what they're doing. I've heard it from other people that went out on dates. It was like, oh, horrible. This guy was, you know, halfway down my throat. It was disgusting, whatever. So kissing is important. That was a deal breaker for me. Is kissing a deal breaker for you? Another thing that I always looked at, and at least when I was dating before I met my wife, is I had a certain, let's say, look that I was into. To say it was only brunettes was a lie, because I like blondes as well. But I was attracted to longer hair, a bit longer hair, as opposed to shorter hair. And it doesn't matter if it was brunette or blonde, because I was equally as into brunettes and blondes. But you have like a type, right? And for me, I love the brown or dark hair, the black hair and the brown eyes. But then I also like the blue eyes and blonde hair. So we all have that thing. And also another thing that I joked about on my in my high school yearbook, dislikes. Under dislikes, I put cheap cologne, because who likes cheap cologne? And women over 6 feet, because I always felt that if I had to look up at a woman, or she was almost eye level to me, that wasn't... No, I wasn't into that. That's a deal breaker as well. If she was too tall, like she could play for a WNBA team, No, I wasn't interested in that. Now, I know some people probably think, well, that's sad. Really, you have all these prerequisites? But yeah, you should, because you should have likes and dislikes when you're meeting people. Chances are nowadays, I can't imagine dating nowadays and how difficult it would be, because you might be, somebody might be putting up a different picture of themselves, a better picture of themselves under a tree, under a shadow. Then you meet them in person and it's like, whoa, what happened? This is not the person that I'm into. So you got to provide, I would imagine, your best picture, your best possible picture. Not the way you looked like 6 months ago, 2 years ago, or 5 years ago, but what you looked like an hour ago or yesterday, you know, or this week. So that it makes it fair for the people you're going on a date with, especially if you're on one of these Tinder, Bumble sites, wherever you're on. I mean, you got to be honest with people, because they're eventually going to see you, and then they're going to notice that you're 20 or 30 pounds overweight, right? You know, that camera angle that you took, or that you were next to something that made you look thin, and then all of a sudden you're not the person you were in the picture. That's not good either. So look, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. There is no doubt that I have liked people. I've been attracted to people that I'm sure other people, let's say other guys, might not be attracted to. And then I've been attracted to people that everyone would be attracted to. So it depends, right? It's whoever you're into. But you should have this list. And you should be checking the boxes, right? And saying, okay, he does this, he does this. So for me, well, for example, I was talking about height. My wife is about 5'8", which I think is a great height, but I've had ex-girlfriends in the past who were 5'4", or 5'5", or 5'3", and I like that too. I like being the tall guy when I'm walking down the street and holding hands. I like being, looking like the man, and looking like, you know, I'm not eye level with somebody. I'm just not into that. So you gotta lay down your likes and dislikes and stick to them. And it's okay. You know, sometimes people say, oh, she's too picky. She'll never find a guy. Oh, he's too picky. He'll never find a girl, or whomever you're looking for. But you should have your list of likes and dislikes. Figure it out. Especially if you're in your 30s or in your 40s. By now, you gotta have that chart. You got to have that chart following you everywhere you go. And I know a lot of people more than ever have that chart, because I speak to them and they're like, oh, no, Frank. It was like, he didn't even check off half of the stuff on my list. Now, you have to be willing to forego some things. Let's say you have 10 things. And I've heard like dating coaches and matchmakers talk about this. You can't have 20 things on your list and have the person check all 20 of those things. No, but you have to be open-minded. If you're willing to check 15 of those things and maybe 5 things, you know, you let pass, or out of 10, maybe 8 and 2 you let pass, because then finding that person that is 10 out of 10 for you, meeting every criteria, might be impossible and could be a reason why you might be single. Because as time goes on and we get older and older, we get pickier and pickier. It doesn't get easier. So I know people that were dating many years ago, or divorced or out of relationships, now are dating again. And they say, Frank, it is impossible. It's so hard. I don't know if I got pickier. Yes, you did. You got pickier, because as time goes by, more than ever, you know what you want. We know what we want. I know what I want. So you stick to that list, and then it becomes harder to find somebody. But I would love to hear from you at Freeway Frank. You could DM me or on Instagram, wherever you're on, and reach out to me and tell me what are your some of your deal breakers. In other words, okay, you could go with a couple of the things that they might not have, but if they're like this and they do this, I'm out. Let me know. Like, for example, some women love guys with beards, but if a guy has a beard or if a guy has a mustache, no chance you'll be dating them. That wraps up episode 183 of the Drive-By Solocast. Thank you so much for listening in. It is sponsored by Les Délices La Frenette. They make the best cakes, pastries, cannoli. I just went over to see a few friends earlier this week. I brought 8 cannolis and 4 were gone within the first few minutes that I arrived. That's how good these cannolis were. And one of my friends is from out of town and he was like, oh, Montreal, I'm back and to die for. That was his review of Les Délices La Frenette. Simplement délicieux with 5 Montreal locations, St. Leonard, the original hub, and Rosemere, Pointe-Claire, Montreal West, and the newly expanded store, which includes groceries right out of Italy, anything from meats, deli meats, coffee, pastries. You could even get dough and pizza and bread. They've got it all at Les Délices La Frenette Brossard on Taschereau Boulevard. Les Délices La Frenette. com. If you enjoyed this episode, please 5-star it on Spotify, review or comment on Apple, and check out any of the past episodes on the Drive-By Podcast page on YouTube. I'm Freeway Frank. We'll catch you again next week. Thank you so much for listening, and ciao for now.
The Drive-By with Freeway Frank.
The Drive-By Podcast, brought to you by Own Space.